This morning we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 19, entitled The Lord Instructs Sri Rupa Goswami, text 151. Brahmanda Brahmati Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashade Bhai Bhaktilat Bij. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Purport. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all universes, there are innumerable planets and innumerable living entities upon those planets in the air and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity life after life. This is the position of materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, if one is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna conscious movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities, and as soon as a living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from this material bondage. How one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Sri Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was born of a maidservant. Although he was not born into a prestigious position, his mother was fortunately engaged in rendering service to some Vaishnavas. When these Vaishnavas were resting during the Chaturmasya period, the boy Narada took the opportunity to engage in their service. Taking compassion upon the boy, the Vaishnavas offered him the remnants of their food. By serving them and obeying their orders, the boy became the object of sympathy for the Vaishnavas. And by the Vaishnavas' unknown mercy, he gradually became a pure devotee. In the next life, he was Narada Muni, the most exalted of all Vaishnavas and the most important guru and acharya of the Vaishnavas. Following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna conscious movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna, and in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunaye Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Karayai Udhaya. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service, Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lat Bij. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Today is an auspicious day because we are giving initiation to Rajshekha and Padmarani. As we've many times stated, this ceremony has been compared to the living entity's second birth. Our first birth is from our mother and father. And with all due respect, because especially in India, in our Vedic tradition, so much as respect is offered to the mother and the father, that is actually a birth into ignorance. Why ignorance? Because to take that birth, we had to leave the spiritual world. We had to leave our original father and accept so many temporary mothers and fathers in this material existence. We left the spiritual world, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, to come to this world, which is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. Logic would say that you should only give up something if you get something better. Like if I have $100 and you have $10, if I say, would you like to exchange? Oh, yes, I'd like to exchange. But if you have $100 and I have $5 and I say, would you like to exchange? Oh, no, sir, I'm not interested. But that is our cardinal sin, according to the Catholic tradition. They speak of the cardinal sin that we left the spiritual world for this material existence. We gave up our freedom to go to jail. Who in his right mind would give up the liberties that one enjoys in a democratic society and voluntarily go to a penitentiary? It's madness. This material world is often referred to as Durga Dham. Mother Durga, the wife of Shiva, she's in charge. She has the thankless task of keeping us here until we're rectified and we can go home. So Durga means prison. How is it a prison? Because there's four very high walls. It's maximum security. Birth, disease, old age, death, and no one can escape. Repeatedly, again and again, because of our impious, or you could even more so our sinful activities, we're put back into the same situation. America, Australia, Japan, China, or worse, any of the 8,400,000 species of life is simply suffering, mostly suffering. We often quote a survey which was done in America that people are happy only 5% of the time, they're miserable 5% of the time, and they're bored 90% of the time. So what is this? We keep coming back for the same thing, and yet we don't learn our lesson. We're punished again and again for our sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada once told the story of a carpenter who was very attached to his hearth and home, to his family members and to his home outside the village somewhere in India. But he was a very cruel person, very mean man, nasty. Tradition in India is that the sadhus in particular, they have the right to do madhukari, to maintain themselves so that they can engage in the real business of life, which is becoming Krishna conscious. They're so serious about their spiritual life, they practically don't have time to do anything else but shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. There's a few good souls like that. That's all they want to do. Just spend their valuable time becoming Krishna conscious. What's the best way to spend, most effective way to become Krishna conscious? Chant, hear, remember Krishna. So to eat They go door to door. They can go to four houses. Madhukari means four houses. And you knock on the house and you say, Mata, hungry. So the lady of the house, man is working in the fields or whatever, doing the cloth store. Ladies are always home in Vedic culture, taking care of the house, the griha, the children, like that, deities. So the tradition is that if a sadhu comes, you can't refuse him. And I've seen in Vrindavan, when we also do Madhukari just for fun, because we don't need to do it. There's always so much food in ISKCON. Last night we went to a house program where there were 28 preparations. Some of our devotees are just getting up now. So you go and then you, hungry. So immediately, for me it's always mysterious. They make the rotis and the sabji and the achar. It's there in 30 seconds. Maharaj, waiting, just ek minute, Maharaj, and come back and there. And you go to four houses, you're so full, up to the neck, you have to waddle home like a duck. But this carpenter, he was a very cruel, selfish man. So whenever any person would come to beg, he would take a stick and chase that person away. And if he could, he'd give him a big whack on his back. That's how cruel he was. So for that aparad of offending sadhus, which is actually the first offense to the holy name, to not honor and respect those who have dedicated their lives to the service of Krishna. For that sinful activity, he took birth as a dog in the village. A dog. Of course, in the West, dog is something. But in India, dog is nothing. Vedic culture, people don't keep dogs in their house. Now, Kali Yuga has come to India, and people are keeping dogs as pets in their houses. I've seen it in Mumbai. They walk the dog. Huge. They don't like little dogs. They like big dogs. How these big dogs live in these little Mumbai apartments, I don't know. But they walk them on the beach. But generally, dog is a dirty animal. At best, he can maybe guard the village from the tigers or something. He can bark. That is his service. So he took birth as dog. But because of that strong attachment from previous life to house and home, he came back to the same home in which he lived previously as the man of the house, Prabhupada said. He came back as a dog to beg some scraps of food from his own previous family members. But when they saw him, they thought, oh, here's a dog coming, a filthy dog. They took a stick and they beat him and chased him away. This is his karma. Previously, he was beating the sadhus, chasing them away. So for his sinful activity, he had to take birth as a dog in that village, come to his same home, be beaten by his own wife, his own son, his own daughter, and chased away. So this is what happens. This is not just fiction. This is fact. Prabhupada has told this story to impress upon us the results. So we're thrown back again and again into the same situation. Brahmanda brahmati konya bhagivan jeev. We're wandering from one Brahmanda to another. Now science is discovering so many different universes. Okay. But it's not really you're discovering them. You've been there before. You've been there, done that. We've been in this material world since time immemorial. You've been through all those universes. You've been through all those solars, all those galaxies. It's no new thing. You've done that. You keep coming back again and again and again, back into the prison house. Tannaham dvishata kurun samsareshu naradhaman shipam yajashuram ashudham ashudiv eva yonishu. Yoni means the womb. Krishna says, those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest amongst men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. That doesn't just mean the other guy. In this lifetime, we're Vaishnavas, and probably most of you were Vaishnavas in a previous life, and before that, very pious. But your history goes back a long time. So this is our history. People like to understand their family history. What was in the family? Yes, this is the bigger picture. Those who are envious and mischievous, that was you and me, who are the lowest amongst men and ladies, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence into various demoniac species of life. No one can escape. And the thing is that most people don't want to escape. That's the amazing thing. Just like there are some people who feel themselves better off in jail. You know, life is tough now. There's a recession. And for some people, it's hard to even make ends meet. So there are certain persons of a crippled mentality. They commit a crime. They're thrown into jail. Hey, you got a roof over your head. You got somebody watching over you. If you get sick, they take you to the hospital. The prison has a good hospital, generally. You get food, you get drink, you get showers, you get clothes. Okay, it's not ideal, but for some people, it's better in jail than it is outside of jail. So there are, what they call them, repeated offenders. They commit a crime, they go to jail. As soon as they get out, they're back like 3 weeks later. Oh, you're back, I'm so sorry for you. No, no, it's great. This time I'm in for 20 years. What? Hello? A crazy mentality. But most people are like that. They're somehow or other, it's a type of madness, but they're satisfied with their situation here. They don't know there's a higher goal, there's a positive alternative. There are people who are prepared to remain here for as long as required. Ahanyahani Bhutani, Gach Antila, Yamalayam, Shesha Shtavram, Ichanti, Kimascharyam Mataparam. Yudhishthira answers Yamaraj's question. What's the most amazing thing in this world? Well, the most amazing thing is that every day, hundreds and millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death. Still, those who remain aspire for a permanent situation. This is how it's translated. What could be more wonderful? What could be more amazing? What is more surprising than that? How do we know people are aspiring for a permanent situation here? Because they're making no plans to resolve the situation, to get out of the repetition of birth and death. So that's the essence of our misfortune. We are fallen, but we don't realize it. We sometimes use the phrase to add insult to injury. A person's injured, he's down on the ground, then you insult him. You idiot, you fool, it's your own fault. You walked into the wall, you went through the red... Okay, the guy's down. Give him a little pity, you know. But no, to add insult to injury. The person's injured, and then you insult him. So it's enough that we fell down into this material world, but the insult is that we remain attached here. This is the most amazing thing. Once Indradev, who's king of heaven... That's Svargalok. You can't even imagine what Svargalok is like. All the opulence of the Earth planet equals only one iota of the opulence of Svargaloka. And I won't go into much details because you may change your mind and go to some demigod temple. There are many Hindu organizations in this city, in this region, in this country, and they are into demigod worshiping, asking for some material benedictions. So if you heard of the benedictions of Svargaloka, you may not be so fixed in Krishna consciousness. You may go to that organ of soul. But the duration of life is thousands of years. You take birth on Svargaloka, you're immediately 16 years old. You don't have to go through all the infancy and the nappies and the inoculations and the learning to speak and learning to walk and, you know, going to school. No, 16. You're a youth. Full-bloom youth. Girl or boy. And no one works in Svargalok. Do their pious activity. They're simply enjoying the results of their pious activities here in the earth planet. One day Indra, he offended one sadhu. He's pretty good at that. We don't want to be too disrespectful because we don't want a rainstorm today. But he offends the sadhus because he becomes proud of his opulence. He's a devotee, but his devotion is mixed. He's not fully surrendered to Krishna. So sometimes, like us, he becomes overwhelmed by material desires. But because he has a very responsible position, when he makes a mistake, it's something big. When a common man makes a mistake, it's not such a big thing. But when Tiger Woods makes a mistake, the whole world knows about it. This is our modern society. So when you make a mistake in a responsible position, you're held more accountable for it. So he insulted a sadhu because his attachment to his wealth, he's thinking it's I, me, and mine. He could not see the sanctity of a saintly person, and whatever it was, he insulted him. And because of that insult, he fell to the earth and he took birth as a pig. Indra became a pig. Oink, oink. I mean, that's from being able to recite the Vedas and so many shlokas and engaging in transcendental sacrifices. One word was oink, the pig. And he had a wife and he had children, little piglets. And he was thinking, this is all very nice, tike acha, as they say in Bengal. They add tike, but they add the acha. So everything is going very nice. His friend, because Narada Muni is a friend towards all living entities, particularly the demigods, he often comes and gives discourses. He visits their temples, traveling sadhu, the traveling preacher, and he gives discourses. He traveled to Swargalok. He noticed that the king of the Devatas was gone. He asked what happened. Oh, he offended one sadhu who cursed him to take birth on the earth. So out of his great compassion, Narada Muni came here. And he found Indra in the body of a pig. He began preaching to him. Okay, you made the mistake. Now rectify yourself and come back. And what did Indra say? I don't want to come back. What do you mean you don't want to come back? No, I'm happy here. Wait a minute. This is really insult to Indra. We've fallen down, and then you're happy here in this mud puddle? Ah, you don't know, Narada, how nice this mud. And the garbage the farmer is giving? Yum, 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 you think. This is madness. But we're laughing at ourselves. We've also fallen into the mud of material existence. We fell from a higher goal, a more cherished goal. We fell from Vaikuntha, that place where there is no misery. Kuntha means misery. Vaikuntha means a place where there's no misery. We didn't fall from Swarg, we fell from Vaikuntha. So don't laugh too hard. But here what happened. Well, actually what happened is he couldn't be convinced by Narada. That's how fallen he was. That's how unfortunate people are, that there are sadhus who are wandering the earth or living in wonderful centers like here in Melbourne who are describing our fallen condition and offering a positive, more than a positive alternative, an ecstatic alternative. Not just positive, ecstatic. Krishna consciousness is ecstatic. It's not just positive. It's ecstatic. And people don't take. Anyahani bhutani, what could be more amazing than this? This is putting it in the modern day perspective. Actually, he couldn't hear. He wouldn't accept the instructions of one of his gurudevs. What's the third offense of the holy name? To disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. So he was so fallen, so attached to this ridiculous situation, Narada Muni could not enlighten him. I think there's no more unfortunate situations than that, that you cannot take the good instruction of a sadhu and rectify your situation. That is something very unfortunate. What happened, the way he woke up to his situation is the farmer came and he started, took his wife away and slaughtered her for the market. Then he took away this little pig, that little pig, this little pig. You know, pigs have a lot, big families, 6, 10, 12, I don't know. Took them one by one and for butchering. And then Indra woke up. Oh, what a fool I am. And generally that's the way that most people begin to revive their spiritual lives. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jnana sukritino arjuna arto jignashur arthati jnani cha bharata shubha. O best among the bharats, Four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service to me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the absolute. Four kinds of people. They're here, they're in illusion, but they have a spiritual awakening, a dawning of an understanding. Just like there's darkness, which is compared to ignorance, but by nature's way, the sun rises, the dawning of the sun destroys the darkness. So the dawning of one's spiritual life comes in four ways. One sees the light. I've seen the light. The light bulb comes on, the comic strips. What causes one to begin again his spiritual life? He comes under great duress or distress. He becomes a desire of wealth. So he hears about Bhagavan. Prahlad told the story of Bhagavan, what do we call him?
Daku
Bhagavan. The man went to get his wealth from the most wealthy person, Krishna, the inquisitive, and one who is searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. Krishna says the best is the one who's looking for knowledge because he's less motivated than the others. But generally out of distress, oh my God, please help me. We hear that. We say that. Oh my God, please help me. I like to tell the story of when the Russians put the first satellite into space. They called it a Sputnik. I don't think they call it that anymore. That's an archaic Russian word. No, they still call it Sputnik. It means satellite, right? Sputnik. Okay. My Russian disciples are here. Sputnik was Khrushchev. There was the space race with the Americans. So they put one of the first Sputniks into space, and it was revolving around the Earth. And what is this Earth? Nothing more than a speck of dust in the cosmos. Nothing but an atomic particle. But Khrushchev, the leader of Russia, he said to the cosmonaut, the astronaut in our English, but in Russian, the cosmonaut. Cosmonaut, you are in outer space. How far out was he? Outer space. Do you see God? Oh, no, sir. So Khrushchev said over national radio, you see, my people, this shows there is no God. Our Lenin and Marx, they were correct. There is no God. He's flying around an atom in this huge cosmos. He doesn't see God. Like an ant in the corner, and we're all in the marathon distributing books, and he doesn't see any humans, so he concludes there's no humans in existence. No, sir, I don't see God. Oh, then there's no God. And then a few hours later, the Sputnik ran into mechanical problems. It failed, and it began plummeting to the earth. And his microphone was still on. The whole nation could hear. And he said his last words, "Oh my God, please help me." So there's a good example of taking shelter of spiritual life when in distress. I couldn't think of a more distressful condition than your satellite plummeting to the earth, burning up in the earth's atmosphere. That's how most people awaken to spiritual life, unfortunately. For those who have been practicing for many births, and Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that generally one cannot take to devotional service in earnest unless he has performed bhakti yoga or devotional service in previous lifetimes. He can't remain fixed. You know, there's some devotees that just come and it looks so natural for them. It's so easy. It's just like, wow, they're just so easy for them. They don't have so many troubles and they're so happy. And it's indicative that in their previous lives they had performed and they're finishing up. And some of us come and from day one as there's problems and doubts and we're struggling. And this may be first or second birth. That's okay. Confucius said the longest journey begins with the first step. So better to be taking one step slowly in the right direction than running quickly in the wrong direction, like the materialistic people. So, whatever, we're safe. If you're drowning in the ocean and someone lifts you just 1 millimeter above the ocean, you're safe. You may not be, you know, 1 meter, 2 meters. You may have to be in the boat. You may not be in the helicopter taking you back to land, to hospital. But if you're 1 millimeter above the water, you were drowning, and someone pulls you 1 millimeter out. Oh, I'm only 1 millimeter. Hey, you're saved. So even if you're just beginning this process of Krishna consciousness, it's okay. Don't think, oh, I'm not so advanced. Even after 40 years, I had 2 millimeters. At least you're not drowning in the ocean of material existence. Be grateful to Guru and Krishna for delivering you from that hellish condition. In fact, Rupa Goswami says, one of the symptoms, the first symptoms of pure devotional service, meaning one is situated in the process of pure devotional service, is a relief from all material anxiety. That's our situation, for the most part. So, most people come out of that feeling of distress. They take shelter of Krishna. And they want the positive alternative. They want the ecstatic alternative of Krishna consciousness. How to do that? Tadvidi paripatena pariprasana sevaya upadekshanti te ginam ganinashtatvadash. Then you have to find a teacher. Just as one requires a teacher for any simple subject matter, what to speak of a complex subject matter, so one requires the spiritual master to learn the science of the soul. The science of the soul? You're referring to Krishna consciousness as a science? We're against the scientists. Prabhupada said, why is no one challenging these rascals? Well, hold on. That's materialistic science. We also refer to Krishna consciousness as a science. A science of the soul. Because science means you have an hypothesis, you have a means to carry out the experiment, you have the results. Our hypothesis is Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, klo nasteva, 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 gathirnanyatha. That in the age of Kali there's no other way but chanting Hare Krishna. That's our hypothesis. Try it. And what result will you get? Oh, you'll go 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters, 3 millimeters, 4 millimeters, all the way back home, back to God. It's a science. It can be proven. Felina Parichate. Prabhupada liked this phrase. Felina Parichate means you judge something by the result. What is the result of a bona fide spiritual practice? Your material desires decrease and your spiritual emotions, your spiritual desires increase to an unprecedented level. That's the tangible result. How do I know I'm making advancement? Those strong, that lust decreases. Anger decreases. Greed decreases. And in not you become to the void, like Dalai Lama is saying, the Buddhist, with all due respect, it's an atheistic philosophy. It's voidism. Just get rid of all material desires are the source of bondage. Samsara, repetition of birth. Get rid of the material desires, then nothing exists. Voidism. Prabhupada said there's no such thing as a void, even in this world, which is speaking the concept of the absolute truth. No. You get rid of the material desires, then when you clear away all the weeds, the healthy seed, the bhakti lad bij, which Prabhupada said is there in the heart, it never goes away. It's there in the heart. It gets a chance to grow. Because a healthy plant can't grow when it's surrounded by weeds. That's why sometimes fire is good for a forest. It clears away all the undergrowth so the big trees, which are the important elements in the forest, they can get the water they need, the sustenance, the light they need. So fire is not bad. Sometimes fire is necessary to clean away a forest. Then the healthy trees can grow. So you get rid of your material desires, you give a chance, give peace a chance. John Lennon said, well, give Krishna consciousness a chance. Get rid of your material desires and see how that healthy seed of that bhakti lad bij grows into a wonderful tree producing fruits of love of Godhead. Try it. Experiment. It's a science. Science means hypothesis, experiment, and result. Where does it say that Krishna consciousness is a science in Bhagavad Gita? This gentleman's holding the Bhagavad Gita. It says it right there. Sarganam adir antushcha madhyam chaivaham arjuna ajatma vidya vidyanam vada pravadatam maham. Krishna says in the 10th chapter, Opulence of the Absolute, of all creations, I am the beginning, the end, and also the middle, O Arjuna. And of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self, and among logicians, I am conclusive truth. So of sciences, I'm the science of the spiritual self, the spiritual science of the self. In early editions of the Gita, it said, I'm the science of the soul. Hey, so to learn science, you need a professor. You can't just... Science is such a complicated... I did terrible. I used to get D's. C minuses and D's. It's just too complex. I didn't have the brain for that. What to speak of the science of the self? It's not only profound, but very subtle. How to perceive it. How to understand it. You need teacher. And when you perfect what the spiritual professor teaches you, you graduate from the material world. Just like if you perfect your studies in school, in botany or chemistry or whatever it may be, and you graduate from the school. So when you perfect the teachings of your spiritual professor, Gurudev, Vishnupad, there's so many names that are given to the spiritual master, then you graduate. Punarjanma Navidyate. That's the graduation ceremony. Punarjanma Navidyate. Krishna says in the Gita, you never take birth again. From the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. But one who takes shelter of me, Arjuna, Punarjanma Navidyate. He never takes birth again. What a graduation ceremony. You know, they, in the universities, they have the black cap and the gowns, and it's all very formal and nice, and there's a dinner afterwards. And our graduation ceremony, we just disappear and don't come back again. Where did that graduate go? What kind of career? He just left this place. In India, when a sadhu leaves, they go like this. I asked where one of my friends went, my old sadhu friends. Hey, what does that mean? In the West, that means get lost. He said, he left this place. Well, where does he move? Golok. The big smile on his face. Golok. You know, well, your friend leaves. Oh, he left this place. And this friend said, Golok. He went Golok. I also want Golok. You want? Yeah, Golok. Janame Sabha. Pita Mata Paya, Krishna Guru Nahi Mele Bhajahariye. The source of that verse is unknown, but it's a Bengali verse. Prabhupada will quote it a number of times. Everyone gets a mother and father. But if one gets the benedictions of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer the material energy and return back to Godhead by serving the Lord. Dhaname Sabhe Pita Mata Paya, Krishna Guru Nahi Mele Bhajahariye. That's a good verse. So in that verse, the spiritual master is also referred to as the father. Actually, I've experienced this since the years I've been initiating. I thought when they asked me to be a guru on Prabhupada's order, that I would just be teaching some classes. And then I found out being a guru is also being like a father, like having children, because they're very dependent upon you for so many things. You become like a father. You're like a professor. You're like a psychologist. your friend. There's so many relationships in that relationship between guru and disciple. So in this verse, Janame Sabhe Pita Mata Paya, Krishna Guru Nahi Mile Bhajahariye, Guru is referred to like father. Just as our material father planted the seed In the womb of the mother, the living entity first appears in the seed of the father, who, through the act of a conjugal act, that seed is planted in the womb of the ovum of the mother. Therefore, some sadhus say in India that the child is literally the property of the father, because he was given to the mother through the seed, through the semen. Anyway, there's different angles. But some sadhus are saying like that, that the child is a prop because he gave to the mother. She's the receptacle which developed the birth, but the seed is coming. Of course, the seed-giving father of all creation is Krishna. So we all belong to Krishna. So he plants the seed, and of course, without the fertile soil, how can a seed grow? So actually, there's equal responsibility in conceiving, raising, and delivering the child. Mother and father, the success of household life. Prabhupada said, what is household life without children? And the duty of the mother and father is to liberate that child. And that ensures their liberation too, because if they don't make it, then the child goes to Gaia, he performs pinda, a type of ceremony, to relieve the parents, or the father in particular, who may be in some ghostly body because of some bad business deals. Some unscrupulous. You know, business means I have this product and it's very nice and I'm giving it to you a damn cheap price. Actually, you're up. You've increased the price seven times. And it's faulty. So for these dealings, maybe sometimes there's some cheating, some sin. Father may be in a ghostly body. So son goes to Gaia, performs the Shraddha ceremony. He offers the prasad to Vishnu, then offers it to the forefathers. The relief from those subtle bodies, they get gross bodies, and they can continue on the path of spiritual life. So, as the father gives the seed of life, the spiritual master awakens the bhakti-lite bij in the heart of the disciple at the moment of initiation. This is not some ritual. We just go through some ritual so that we can fix our minds. This is a very significant ceremony. Prabhupada said that you can chant Hare Krishna and become freed from karma. You can chant Hare Krishna and free yourselves of material desires. But if you want prema, the ultimate goal of life, if you want love of God, you have to receive the mantra through Guru Parampara. You have to take initiation into the mantra from a bona fide spiritual master. This initiation gives the disciple the opportunity to achieve Krishna prema. You cannot achieve Krishna prema without taking diksha. You can get a lot out of chanting Hare Krishna, but if you want prema, which is the ultimate goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you have to get the mantra from a guru in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. As we said yesterday, we were speaking about how devotees respect all classes of transcendentalists because we all have a common enemy, material life, sense gratification, lust. So we respect all different sadhus. The enemy of my enemy is my enemy. All us transcendentalists, we have one common enemy, who is these strong attachments to the material world. So we offer our respects to all the various transcendentalists. Nevertheless, within our hearts, we have our chosen goal, which is Krishna prema. Only that Krishna prema guarantees one liberation. People want moksha, they want liberation. I want moksha, liberation. You only get it in Krishna consciousness. Because if you become an impersonalist, fine. You're meditating on an aspect of the Supreme, the Lord's effulgence. You will merge into that Brahman like a green bird merges into a green tree. You don't lose your identity, but you're merged, so to speak, simultaneously one and different. At some point, because you no longer have material desires, if you don't advance and awaken your spiritual desires, which means service for Radha and Krishna, again the material desires will come into your heart. They'll manifest because we can never be desireless. We are full of desires, either material or spiritual. At one point, if you don't advance further like the four Kumaras did and they became bhakti yogis, you will fall back down into the material existence, back down to the earth, back to Melbourne, where it's been cold for the last 4 weeks of summer. We came to Australia expecting a hot summer. I should have brought my down jacket, my ski hat, my thermal socks. You'll come back down. Real liberation is only granted to the Vaishnava. Punarjanma na vidyate. Krishna says, for my devotee who comes back, he never takes birth again. The risk is there for the Mayavads, personally, to come back. So this is the only genuine movement in the world. We'll say it in close, behind closed door in our company. So if you meet someone amongst the assembled Vaishnavas who inspires you, then, and that person is recognized in the society as capable of accepting students, and you surrender that, then you're very fortunate. As Chanakya Panda says, there does not exist a ruby in every mountain, nor a pearl in the head of every elephant, nor sadhus in every country, nor sandalwood trees in every forest. So what is the good fortune? The bhagyavan, as Prabhupada translated, the good bhagyavan, what is that good fortune that we obtain from the association of the spiritual man? Essentially, it's the knowledge. Just like right now, we're repeating the knowledge we've heard from our spiritual master. This is the essence of the guru-disciple relationship. There's many other activities we do with our spiritual master, but the essential characteristic of the relationship is shravanam kirtanam, hearing and repeating the instructions and following the instructions of the spiritual master. That is stated in that famous verse, Tadvidi Pariprasana Sevya. It's an approach of spiritual master. Okay, so what then what? Pariprasana Sevya. What does that relationship consist of? Inquiring, Sir, Kayami, who am I? Who is Krishna? What is my relationship with Krishna? And then Sevya, service. That's the essence. So therefore, the student should regularly hear from the guru. Whoever your spiritual master is, that should be the main body of your iPod, the main thing on your iPod. If we take your iPod away and listen to it, what will we hear? I want everyone to turn in their iPods right now. We're going to put them on the master speaker. Prabhupada said, one who hears well, he'll speak well. This is our great gift, knowledge. As the moon is the ornament of night, as the chaste woman is the ornament of a good husband, as the king, a pious king, is the ornament of a country, so knowledge is the ornament of everything. We have so much to be gained. We can figure it all out. How to get out of here? And how to enter into the spiritual world just with knowledge. Where is the knowledge coming from? From Guru. Therefore, we like to quote a verse from Padyavali. Lord, I am drowning in the painful, fathomless whirlpool of repeated birth and death. O Lord, friend of those who have no shelter. O effulgent moon of mercy. Please, just this one time, quickly, extend your hand to save me. What does that mean? The long arm of the law? We hear the long arm of the law? No. How does Krishna extend his hand to save us? He sends us the association of Vaishnavas. That is his mercy. Just as the light of dawn precedes the rising of the sun globe, so the mercy of devotees precedes the mercy of Krishna. Just like if the sun were just to rise up real quickly, your eyes couldn't adjust to it. Oh! Like last night, I had to use the bathroom. So I woke up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I turned on my flashlight. Oh! I have one of these really powerful flashlights. Oh, it's hurting my eyes. I had to turn it off. I started walking, I bumped into the door. But if I had a little light, I could get used to it, that I could turn on the big light, and everything would be okay. If you had, Krishna just appeared before you, wouldn't have the qualification, the purity, purified senses, the prema, to be able to deal with that. So the dawning is that the Lord sends his devotees. And amongst those devotees, you pick one as your spiritual master. You find someone. There's different spiritual masters because there's different devotees, and by Lord's arrangement, the connection is made. We have to. Prabhupada said every intelligent man and woman should have a bona fide spiritual master. He said intelligence means to see things in their proper perspective. That's Prabhupada's definition of intelligence. To see things in their proper perspective. So what is seeing this material world in its proper perspective? Oh, it's a great day today. I'm going to the beach. Life's a beach. Everyone else is doing it. They're all drinking. It's party time in Australia. Christmas. Hello. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu have a different outlook of the situation. So our vision is faulty now. We need the vision of the liberated souls to see things in their proper perspective. And if we have a guru, we should know the Lord has noticed us. We sometimes say, I'm just a little devotee struggling on in Krishna consciousness. How does God know me? No, if you have a guru, then God knows. He sent. It's not by chance. As Prabhupada said, that the Lord instructs us from within as the Chaita Guru, the Super Soul, and he instructs us from without as the Spiritual Master. So these are nothing happens by chance even in the material world. Everything is destiny. What we experience is every second of our lives is determined by previous activity, although we do have a will to change it. For most people who don't accept the alternative of Krishna consciousness, they're just, everything is destined. So what to speak of something happening in spiritual life? It's not, when a devotee surrenders, especially when one is initiated, then the Lord takes charge. He directs us. Sometimes it's a tough lesson. Sometimes it's bitter. Sometimes it's sweet. But Lord knows. The ways of the Lord are mysterious. So we must have a spiritual master to lead us out of this labyrinth, this dense, dark forest of illusion. Like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati told the story of he said, we need a guru. If we don't follow guru out of material existence, we'll follow gauru into material existence. Guru means spiritual master. Gauru means cow. He told the story, once there was a man who went to see his father-in-law in a village some distance away in Bengal, but he was blind and he lost his way on the way back. So he called out to a cowherd man for help. So the cowherd man said, yes, you know, the cows that I'm pasturing today are coming from your village, some 10 miles away. You just hold on to the tail of this cow and I'll slap her backside and she'll take you home. So that blind man, he grabbed the tail of that cow, and the cowherd boy slapped the backside of the cow, and that cow started charging across the fields, through all the bushes and the brambles and the thorns, and bumping into this tree, and through the water, through the river, and then up over the hill in the dust. By the time the guy got home, he was all bruised and cut and... So Bhakti Sananda Saraswati that's a simple example, but he liked that story. He liked that story. He said, that's what happened if you follow an unqualified person. If your leader is unqualified. As Jesus said, the blind lead the blind, and they all fall in a ditch. So there's plenty of blind leaders and blind followers. But there's very few enlightened souls and enlightened followers. If somehow you stumble into their presence by chance, quote unquote, good fortune, or your own desire, never leave that association. Just stick with it. Sometimes it may be a little bit rocky, not because the process is imperfect, but because of our inability to properly follow the process. And what is the process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some special grace, Krite Yad Dvayanto Vishnum, Treta Yam Yajato Makai, Dupare Paricharayam Kolota Dhari Kirtanat. Shastra said, whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing Homa sacrifices, in Dupara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. What? It's so simple. Yes. We're always thinking that the solutions to materialistic problems are generally very complicated. Sometimes the solution is more problematic than the problem itself. So we think, oh, this is the biggest problem. We're entangled in this material world for eons of time. It's going to take a very No. This is the good news. By Lord's grace, what do they say when the governor allows a prisoner to go? What do they call that? Huh? He gets some amnesty. In my country, I don't know about your country, but when we get a new president every 4 years, or some, well, at least every 8 years, there's a new president, he has the right to give amnesty to a condemned prisoner. And they don't just like let out the serial killers and the rapists, but you know, somebody did some bad business. He was a good guy, but he had bad association and he got corrupt and he just cheated people of millions of dollars. All right, 30 years in prison, something like that. The president, understanding that actually he's not really a bad guy at heart, he just had some bad, he can give him amnesty. Sometimes the king would even give amnesty to a killer. He would just judge the case. There's the facts and the figures, but there's the human nature, there's many sizes. He gave him amnesty. Lord has created amnesty for the whole Kali Yuga. If you want to accept it, or do you want to stay here like Indra? Oink, oink. If you're fortunate enough to understand your fallen condition, and you want to get, you get amnesty. This is the most amazing thing. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, when he first met Lord Chaitanya, from his mouth came an immortal verse. What is it? Namo Maha Badanaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurus. We hear this verse over and over again, but really we haven't yet fathomed it. We don't understand all the intricacies and the profound nature. One of my friends, Fakir Mohan Ji, a sadhu from Orissa, he lectured for 1 year on one verse about the glories of the holy name, and he never repeated himself once. So that verse from the mouth of Rupa Goswami, trying to fathom the extraordinary mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the opportunity he gives the fallen souls in this age. We have to take advantage. It's a special sale. Just like now we have, you know, the holiday season here in Australia. So people are going to go shopping. But a lot of people are holding back because they know that after the frantic frenzy of the buyings, you can get the same thing for one quarter of the price. You just wait 14 days. No, but I have to have it now. I want it all. I want it now. Hold on. Be patient. Wait 14 days. And you can go back to the same store and get the same thing for one quarter of the price. You probably only wear it once or twice during those 14 days anyway. So in Kali Yuga, there's a sale. A special sale's on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. It's a real bargain. Just chant, follow your vows, render some service, live in a nice community like Melbourne under an expert temple president like Aniruddha Prabhu, and you'll make nice progress in Krishna consciousness. It's not even a sale. It's free. I mean, imagine if they said, like, after Christmas, okay, it's 75% off, and the next store is selling the same thing, completely free. Oh, my gosh. The whole city would be lining up. Not, and you would worry, oh, but I'm going to come late. Everything's going to be sold. Maybe, but not in Krishna consciousness. Here's free, and there's unlimited amounts of the product, Krishna prema. Lord Chaitanya said he has these fruits of love of Godhead. He has so many of them, he needs help distributing them. He's asking, I'm the gardener, I produce the fruits of love of Godhead. Who's going to come forward and help me distribute all this? Oh, I'd like to come. We'd all like to come forward, distribute those fruits of love of God. As Jesus said, in the mood of this Christmas season, it's better to give than it is to receive. That's the mood of our carnival spirituel. We get to experience that great mercy of how nice it is to give this process of Krishna consciousness to others. And we're saying that it's a sale, but more than a sale, it's completely free. Where in the history of mankind has an opportunity ever been available like that? It hasn't. So we live in historic times. We should feel very grateful. These are precious times, precious moments. We should relish each one of them as we chant the holy names, as we distribute the holy names. We should understand our good fortune. As Rupa Goswami prays, now that we become devotees, your holy names have affectionately created a jubilant festival within our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black ointment of our eyes, and the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. We no longer take pleasure in material desires. O Almighty Lord, material desires no longer appear beautiful to us. That's a fact. What appears beautiful to us is the association of devotees, chanting, dancing, feasting, festivals, Harabhalaba. These are the real treasures of life that we've inherited from our Guru Parampara. So our prayer today is that these two young devotees will embrace these holy names as their lives and souls and distribute it as far and wide as possible, become perfect in Krishna consciousness, and go beyond Svargalok, beyond Vaikuntha, back to Goloka, the supreme destination of life. Hare Krishna. Thank you.